Hello and welcome to our SearchSOA.com webcast on BPM and SOA. We're doing a couple of these what we're doing today is looking at some particularly practical approaches. This webcast was recorded in June 2009. It was done in two parts. This part focuses on a process-centric approach, a look at a methodology for SOA and BPM. There's an accompanying webcast that gives background and basics. So my name is Jack Vaughn, and I'm the editor for SearchSOA.com, and I'm going to be your webcast moderator. And our guest speaker, I'm glad to say today, is Peter Woodhull. Peter is the founder and president of Modus 21. I'm glad to be talking with you, Peter. Hello.
Hello, Jack.
Hey. In case, for the audience, this is your first time participating in one of our webcasts, I have some notes to provide. To begin, Peter will give a presentation, and during this presentation, the slides and any accompanying URLs and images will be pushed to your PC screen automatically. So there's no need for you to do anything on your end to view this presentation. If you have difficulty viewing any of the slides during the presentation, please click on the Enlarge Slide button on your presentation window for a full screen view. You know, after his presentation, I'll ask Peter a question or two. I'd like to introduce you to Peter by saying that at his Modus 21 professional services and consulting firm, he and his crew have worked to create what they consider a process-centric approach to today's issues. This is trying to move people from a technology-centric approach to a process-centric approach. And I think he'll get an idea of what that is as he speaks. The idea is to implement business process management and service-oriented architecture principles and tools, but let's say not to get hung up or carried away with the technology part. So, Peter, I've talked more than enough, and as I said, I'm glad to have you with us and like to see if you'd like to take it away.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jack. And again, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to present this material. Real quickly, I'm going to provide just a little bit of background for anybody who has just picked up with this presentation. Modus 21 has a fairly long-standing background in regards to BPM and SOA implementations. As an organization, we've been working with clients since 2004. But previous to that, numerous members of our team have actually been working together on BPM and SOA projects since roughly 2000, which to some extent predates the industry-accepted practices relative to both of those technologies. That is to say that before we even knew what we were doing, we were helping clients solve some of these problems. In 2008, we were recognized by Gartner as a cool vendor in BPM, which was a departure for Gartner a little bit because, again, Modus 21 is a professional services and consulting firm. We're actually not a vendor, so we don't sell software, and so it was kind of interesting that Gartner recognized us in such a capacity. To date, we have successfully completed something greater than 50 BPM and SOA projects, which is a pretty interesting feat in and of itself. The only reason we can do that is because of the methodology that we use and the way that we approach these projects. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and jump into it and provide some information about that. In the first presentation, we discussed kind of the what and why of BPM and SOA. And in this presentation, we're specifically talking about how an organization should go about successfully implementing a BPM and SOA infrastructure. Our perspective, Modus 21's perspective, is that BPM and SOA are inherently bound at the hip, if you will. They should be considered part of the same goal. Process should inform the necessary services that are provided by an organization, and the services should actually facilitate the processes that are being accomplished. In particular, execution is the biggest key. We don't want to get caught up in the tools here. The BPM tools and the SOA tools are important and they're requisite to successfully implement, but the reality is that neither BPM nor SOA should be a tools-first approach within an organization. In other words, we really focus on doing the hard stuff first. We tell our clients and we work with our clients and we always approach the process first. What is it that we're trying to accomplish? In reality, we tell our clients, and I tell your audience, that 40% of the effort, at least 40% of the effort, should actually be in discovery and analysis. If we consider a successful implementation to be something relative to 40% discovery, 20%, 25% development, and then 35 or 40% testing and deployment. Part of the rationale there is that at this point, where we are in the technology in 2009, the tools are fairly robust and capable, and so the technology is actually the easy part. The hard part is the discovery and organizational change, and that's where most organizations need to focus their efforts. A perfect example of this is a law firm that we've done some work with in the past. At the direction of a consulting group, they went ahead and purchased a BPM product first. Come to find out, it was the first implementation of the BPM tool that the consulting group had done, and the consulting group actually had a licensing agreement in place with the vendor. Now, I don't think that's necessarily uncommon, but the problem is that the way that they presented it to the client was that, well, we just implement the tool, we throw a process in there, and you're good to go. The problem with that was they made no accommodation for actually figuring out how the organization worked, what made their organization special, and they made no accommodations for the organizational change required to actually successfully implement the processes. So the first go-round, the organization, the client, actually considered to be a failure. And so when we came in, the first thing we had to do, unfortunately, the first thing we had to do was try to convince the organization that the technology was not at fault. Of course, that's a hard sale in such a situation. But again, if the consulting group and the customer had tackled the hard stuff first, it would have been a non-issue. So the preeminent concern is looking at the long poles in the tent, if you will. And so one of the biggest obstacles to adoption that we always see is the gap between the business community and the IT community in an organization. That gap actually exists for good reason. Information technology professionals are really good at what they do, and in theory, the business people are really good at what they do. The business people are sectioned out into various different levels. You've got line level people, you've got supervisors, you've got management, you've got executive, and they're all trying to accomplish specific tactical goals in their approaches to achieving strategic organizational goals. And that's required. That's a good thing. That's how businesses strive and succeed. There's a natural separation between what the business users are trying to do, what the business people are trying to do for their clients, and then subsequently what the IT group is trying to do for the business. So it makes complete sense when you go into most organizations. The IT group has a very clear understanding of what the technology looks like, but they're not really adept at solving the business goals of the company. And vice versa. The business people are really good at doing what they do, but they don't really know an awful lot about the underlying information technology or infrastructure that's in play. So it never ceases to amaze me that organizations will approach a BPM or a service-oriented architecture project, and they immediately hand it off to the information technology group. And they tell the IT group, oh yeah, you can go talk to the business people all you want, that's fine. But ultimately, the IT group still owns that project. That's contrary to reality. That's really not the way it should work. This, again, was something that we saw at the law firm, where, in effect, there were only two people in the law firm, two non-technology people that were actually on the project team, the implementation team. Everybody else in the implementation team was either from the consulting group or they were in the IT group. So there were only two people who actually knew how the law firm operated and knew how they did what they did. This was a huge problem because not only did it mean that any time a decision had to be made, it had to be siphoned through those two gentlemen. It was a huge bottleneck because they ultimately had to go back up to the lawyers or the paralegals or the legal assistants or whomever to try and get real answers. The other problem, of course, was that there was no conceptual model or no understanding of what the business process was, and that's because all of the modeling was done directly in the BPM tool, which is was not a user-friendly tool, and the two gentlemen from the business community, they didn't understand what they were looking at when they saw it. So this is one of the biggest problems and the most predominant problem that we find in the adoption of BPM and SOA, or service-oriented computing systems. So there are a couple of approaches, a couple of things that we do in particular that we recommend for our clients, how to address some of the long poles, if you will, how to address the hard stuff. First and foremost, we always talk about a methodology. Organizations need to, before they go off on a BPM and SOA initiative, they need to define the processes that they want to implement. And most organizations will be able to name off a handful of processes fairly readily that they think they can better manage. The problem is that they just jump in and try and attack a given project, a given process, but they don't have a methodology for doing it. So we always present and work with our clients to generate a methodology or a process, if you will, to help them capture, implement, and manage every business process. So this is just an example of a notional methodology that we leverage fairly readily with most of our clients or some variation thereof. But you'll notice that we're showing that for each process they need to go through this whole analysis, improvement, implementation, and management process. And the goal of this is to actually give them a framework from which to constantly improve what they're doing. So as they continue to execute this methodology on subsequent processes, they'll get better at it. Their team will get better at it. They'll have a better understanding of how to manage a business process and how to implement a business process. Unfortunately, what we find is that if an organization attacks one business process, lots of times they use a different set of people to attack the second process and then different people for the third process. And in effect, what they need to do is generate a core team of people that have a fairly clear understanding of how do you effectively define, implement, and manage a business process, a center of excellence, if you will. And that team will ultimately be successful if they have a method by which they do this on a consistent basis. Now, that method can be homegrown or that method can be borrowed from other consulting groups, but ultimately that's one of the things that's going to be a huge benefit relative to successful implementations. As an example, real quick, I'll point out that we went into an insurance service provider and worked with them to actually capture a very significant, critical, mission-critical business process. It took us 8 weeks to actually capture and document the business process and go through the validation effort. It subsequently took us 4 weeks to implement the process inside of a technology tool, and then it only took us 2 weeks. It took us 4 weeks to develop it and implement it, and then it took us 2 weeks to actually deploy it and provide support. Now, ordinarily, it normally takes a little bit longer than 4 weeks. We provide support longer, but this was actually a technology company that provides insurance services, so they had a very clear and they were acceptable of being able to support the system organically. So that was actually a good thing. But the point was it took us twice as long to define and capture the process as it took us to actually build it. That's indicative of the fact that we actually went through the effort of clearly defining the process, getting the validation, doing the hard part first, if you will. The other major component of a successful project that we find, and we emphasize this with all of our clients, is an integrated project team. We don't believe that IT is adequately staffed or skilled to implement business processes on behalf of most organizations. Part of that is because, like I said before, the IT group is responsible for the information technology. They're not responsible for meeting the customer's needs or working with clients or actually completing the mission-critical business processes that make a company successful. So we always focus on building an integrated project team from the business community as well as some sort of executive oversight, and then that team is supported by appropriate technologists. One of the things that we find very interesting is that a lot of the product vendors now actually spend a lot of marketing time talking about the fact that their tools, you don't need IT, you don't need engineers, you don't need programmers, you don't need staff, technology staff to implement their tools or be successful with them. I have found that not to be true. The rationale is that as much as IT is not necessarily the right group of people to define a business process for a company, the business people are not necessarily the right people to implement a technology capability within the company as well. And when you try and explain things like configuration management of process models to a business analyst, they have a hard time understanding. And so what we are constantly working with our clients to do is to help them figure out an appropriate mix. You need business analysts, you need a project manager, you need a process owner. Those are generally business users, business people that exist in the business community of an organization. Subject matter experts are straddle the fence. Lots of times they're technologists. Lots of times they're business users. But the technology people need to be involved because they're ultimately the people that are going to be responsible for supporting a successful BPM and SOA application, service-oriented computing capability. But they are not the people that should own it. And so, as a bottom line, one of the things that I always try to leave my clients with is the fact that to successfully implement or undertake a service-oriented computing project, they have to take a holistic view. You have to understand what it is you're doing, and that is regarding both BPM and service and SOA. Ultimately, you're implementing a service-oriented computing capability. Why are you trying to do it? You're trying to do it solely to meet strategic business goals and tactical business goals. If you're not, you shouldn't be doing it. And how do you do it? You need to generate a consolidated, integrated project team, and you need to use an iterative methodology to effectively tackle projects, processes in an iterative and subsequent fashion. You should not take a technology-focused approach, i.e., don't buy or implement technology first, because ultimately that's just going to constrain you. What you should do is you should focus on the hard parts first, which are both the organizational change aspects as well as actually getting a solid understanding of the processes and capabilities you're trying to implement.
Peter, thank you. That was a worthwhile drill down. I'm only ask a couple of questions and perhaps drill down a little more.
Certainly.
And you talked about the discovery phase, and that to some extent you talked about validation too.
Yes, sir.
And I'm wondering, in this case, what's involved with the validation here, just in general terms?
Certainly. In the previous presentation, I showed a slide that had a small section of what I consider to be a conceptual model, a workflow diagram, or the swim lane diagram proof model. There are a couple different names for it. But ultimately, validation, the goal of validation is for there to be consensus amongst the project team as well as the project stakeholders as to what's actually going to be accomplished. And when we're talking about a business process, we have found that one of the best ways to do that is to actually leverage a conceptual model, and that conceptual model usually takes the shape of a swim lane diagram or a workflow diagram that shows not only the activities that are being completed by, say, the business users in the organization, but also the interactions with the client, all the interactions with the computing systems that are involved, so any legacy systems or external vendors. Also, it shows the activities that are performed by the business process management suite as well. So if the BPM is actually controlling activity or making decisions, those are all activities that need to be modeled and demonstrated in a fairly easy to understand and intuitive visual diagram. The benefit of that is that you can throw that up on the wall, you can walk through it, you can bring all the stakeholders in. First and foremost, everybody's going to recognize the complexity of what they're trying to accomplish, and it gives everybody an opportunity to make modifications, help make decisions about what can be there, what should be there, what should be taken out. My experience shows that trying to implement a business process and services without going through that type of validation effort ultimately results in, I don't want to say outright failure, but lots of times it at least results in rework. Because unless you've got validation from the stakeholders, there's very little hope that you're going to successfully implement what they're asking for or what they really need.
Well, a takeaway I had, you said more or less, IT is not right for defining these processes. Business is not right necessarily for implementing them. You need a mix. We know that. And of course, the trouble is we live in our different worlds, and you find it hard to communicate. Do these models that you just discussed, do they become the Esperanto in this case?
What we have found is that the conceptual models actually become corporate artifacts. Because all the business process modeling tools, all the service, the SOA infrastructure tools, most of them have some sort of visual modeling capability, but very few users are going to understand technical modeling notation such as BPMN or BEPL or service orchestration languages, and they shouldn't. You know, business users should be concerned with how are they meeting their clients' needs. They shouldn't have to go out and have to read a 500-page book to express to their IT group how they do their jobs. So you're exactly right. The conceptual model that I speak of is more often than not, we do it as a big swim lane diagram that we plot out on a plotter. So if it's if it ends up being 50 pages long, you just have to find a wall big enough to put it up on so everybody can look at it. And it becomes the communication medium whereby your business and IT people can sit down and look at it and say, okay, well, we need to change this because this is too complex, or the customers are getting confused, right here in this particular portion of our business process, we're actually losing productivity, or there's a bottleneck, right? So it allows everybody to communicate effectively. And the other thing is, and this is a big component of what I was talking about earlier, that actually is something that the business users can own. And when I say own, I don't mean necessarily put their hands on, but I mean they are the responsible party for managing that conceptual model. And you can find analysts, business users who can use you can do it in Visio, you can do it in any number of enterprise architecture tools or process modeling tools. those types of models are fairly intuitive and easy to generate. The complexity of how those things are implemented by necessity requires the technologists, because that's where, you know, the technology people are responsible for making sure that, you know, just because you model an activity on a conceptual model doesn't mean it doesn't break down into half a dozen steps in the technology stack. And you don't expect your business users to understand that, or they shouldn't understand it. But that's exactly why the IT group has to support it.
Well, it's certainly an ongoing issue and at the center of interest of both business and the technology groups that try to do what the business wants, especially to these days.
Absolutely.
So, everyone, that concludes today's expert webcast on SOA and BPM with Peter Woodhull of Modus 21. This is Jack Vaughn for SearchSOA.com. Saying goodbye, have a good day, and also have a pleasant tomorrow.